Our Bible reading this morning is taken from the book of Ruth, and it's on page 267 in the Pew Bible, if you'd like to look that up. And we're starting at the first verse. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, and Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah, and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning.
See, the last few weeks we've been thinking about eldership, which is really important, and I hope that you have been prayerful over these last few weeks. But today we're looking at a love story. Who does not like a love story? Where do I begin to tell the story that is older than the sea? Didn't even practice that, so it wasn't bad, was it? Everyone loves a love story. Gwyn, you can look lovingly into Libby's eyes. You can hold hands if you like. Nobody will notice. But it's a lovely story. But it's got everything in this story. It's only four chapters long. We'll be looking at it over the next 4 weeks. Beautiful story, powerful story, a deep, deep story. One of the most moving stories in the whole of the Bible. We're going to see God in action in this story. It's got everything, this story. It's got tragedy, got triumph, got hope, got despair. It's got loss, it's got loyalty, it's got romance. This story has, in these four short chapters, 85 verses or something, it's got everything packed into it. There are two books in the Bible named after women. This is one. Can you think what the other one is? Esther. Very good. But this one is the only one named after someone who was not a Jew. That is very significant. She was a Moabite. Why would there be a story or a book named after a Moabite, a non-Jew, in the Bible? It'll all become clear. This is a really important story. Verse 1 kicks off in the days when the judges ruled. So this book comes after the book of Judges. And you'll know some of the stories are like Samson was a judge, and Deborah was a judge, and Gideon was a judge. And as you read through that book, it was a chaotic time. And there's this cycle all the way through the book. There's a cycle of the people, a bit like the Elijah story. You know, when they saw God work powerfully, they pledged their allegiance to him, say, we will follow you, we will trust you. And they meant it. But human nature being human nature, as time went on, they drifted to other gods and other idols. And before they knew it, they were far, far from God. And things would go badly for them. And then they would cry again, saying, Lord, we're really sorry, help us. And he would send them a rescuer, a judge, a leader, a deliverer, like Samson or Deborah or whoever. He would send them someone else who would rescue them. And again, they would say, Lord, you are the one true God. We're going to follow you forever. And as time went on, they followed other gods and other. And this cycle goes over and over and over. And this story takes place in the time of the judges. And if you look at the book before, the book of Judges, the very last verse, you can have a little look, see what it says. Because verse 25 of that, do you see what it says? It says, in those days, there was no king. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's a dangerous scenario. There's no leader, there's no king, there's no focus, so everybody lived their lives as they thought they could or they should. That's very difficult. So the book of Ruth is planted right in the middle of that. Verse 1, and there was a famine in the land. Wonder why there's a famine. Had the people drifted from God? There was a famine in the land, and so a man from Bethlehem, a very significant town as we know, a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab to live there. That's where Moab was there. Bethlehem's on the left-hand side of the Dead Sea. That's the Sea of Galilee up above, where the disciples often went fishing and so on. But Bethlehem, this part of the country is in famine, so they leave here and they go all the way around to Moab. Israel and Moab didn't get on. Yet Moab was distantly related to Israel. The man Moab was the son of Lot. You know the story of Lot, Sodom, Gomorrah, Abraham? Lot had a son with his daughter named Moab. So this is where the kind of country comes from. They're distantly related, but they didn't like each other. They often had hard times. So this was a pagan place to go. This is not where God's people would go. This place was full of sexual license and violence and just horrible things. People who follow God wouldn't naturally choose to live in Moab. But there's a famine. And so they go. In desperate times, people maybe do desperate things. And off they go to Moab. Bethlehem, of course, the name Bethlehem, do you know what it means? House of bread. So the house of bread has no bread. And so they leave to go to Moab. That's modern day Jordan. So if you hear that in the news, often in conflict with Israel, a place of idolatry, not a good place to be. So Elimelech takes his, his family. The name Elimelech means God is king. Elimelech, El, God, Melech means king. God is king. So in this man's life, God was king. At least his name said that he was so. But over the next year, next 10 years, tragedy is going to strike. And it's all given very factually. There's no emotion here. It is just simply saying, verse 3, now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. And they married Moabite women, not God's people. They didn't go back to Israel to look for good wives for these guys. They married pagan girls, Moabite girls, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. And after they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion, the sons, died. No children. In a foreign country. Tragedy. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. So in the space of 10 years, her husband dies. Her son marries women that they might not have chosen for them. And then the two sons die. No details. No explanation. Gone. Naomi had lost everything. No provider. Wasn't like the world today. No social security. Your family were your security. They provided for you, and suddenly her husband was gone and her two sons are gone. No heir. No one to carry on the family line. Finished. Over. Can you put yourself in Naomi's place? What you would have felt like? Many of us go through hard times, difficult times. Some of us are going through hard times today. But Naomi certainly did. 5 verses of tragedy. 5 verses of darkness. 5 verses of hopelessness. But there's a great end of the story. Maybe I'll give you a little glimpse at the end, because God is at work here. Even though she cannot see it, even though we maybe cannot see it, God is here in the midst of this tragedy, and he's going to bring triumph out of tragedy, because that's what he does. Even when we go through the most difficult of times, God is there. God is at work. God brings triumph out of tragedy. Always. Then verse 6. We see a ray of hope, like the sun shining through the window. The light comes in. For the first time, God is mentioned, the Lord. The first time that he is mentioned. Verse 6. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of the people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. God was blessing his people. This was good news. Now, Naomi, who hadn't been home for a long time, could hear the call of home, the draw of home. And there's no place like home, is there? No matter how lovely a country might be, or how wonderful a holiday might be, there is no place like home. Naomi had nothing to keep her in Moab. No husband. No sons. No grandchildren. Nothing. So it was time to return with the only two members of the family she had. Her two daughters-in-law. All they had was each other. But wait. Why would she take them away from their home? Because these girls were from this place. Moab was her home. They could stay there. So she says to them in verse 7, with her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, hey, what am I thinking? Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to me and to your dead husbands. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, we will go back with you to your people. They didn't want to leave Naomi. They'd been through all this tragedy together, and that binds people together, doesn't it? Why would they want to leave? They wanted to stay. They wanted to go back with her. But Naomi tries to convince them otherwise. Verse 11, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. And even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. They had become her daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me. God, at the center of it all, the Lord's hand has turned against me. They have nothing to gain by going back with her. They are better to stay. And yet, as Juliet said to Romeo, parting is such sweet sorrow. It was hard. Verse 14. At this they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Ruth clung to her. Orpah decided to return, but Ruth would not let her go. The word that is used in this passage for Ruth clung to her is the same word that is used back in Genesis chapter 2, where it says this: that is why a man will leave his father and mother and is united. That united is the same word that they use. Well, it's a leave and cleave kind of idea. A man and a wife in marriage leave your family home and cling to each other. Clung. Leave and cleave. That's the same word. Ruth clung to her mother-in-law. Verse 15. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is gone back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth says, please don't urge me to leave you or turn back to you. And then this wonderful phrase that many people use in weddings, and Dawn and I did, when we wrote our vows, we included this little bit, which is beautiful. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. And may the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. Words of commitment. Ruth was walking away from her own family background, from her own home, from her own land. She was leaving the gods of the past and following the God who was real. And isn't that what it means to become a Christian, to become a follower? Leaving everything behind, the old ways, the old gods, the old place, something new. We're moving forward. We step into a new kingdom. God gives us a new song. This is the new wine of the gospel. That's what happens when you put your faith in Jesus. It is like leaving the old behind and going to God's land, his kingdom, his ways, his people. That's why it's important to be part of a church, God's people. To be together, to learn together, to serve together, to love each other, to give an example to the world of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So Ruth is giving her future to Naomi. There were no children to support her in her old age. Ruth is saying, I will never leave you. I am going to be your carer. I'm going to be your constant companion. I will never leave you. Total commitment. Verse 18, when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem, to the house of bread. A journey to Bethlehem. Sometimes going back is not easy. Sometimes if someone has left Ireland, for instance, and gone to America and made their fortune, to come back is great because, wow, you've done well. Wow, what's it like in America? What's it like to drive a big car and have loads of money, but to come back as a failure? That's a different story. And that is what Naomi was doing. She was coming back empty, with nothing. The Lord had turned his hand against her, or so she thought. And she didn't just come alone. She came with Ruth, who was one of those awful people from Moab. It's like your son and daughter bringing home someone that you don't really approve of, from a different religion, a different skin color, a different age, a different whatever. That's what it was like for Naomi returning to Bethlehem. She didn't know what to expect. She hadn't sent a letter ahead. She didn't have a mobile to phone her friends to say, I'm coming. She just arrived with nothing but a foreign woman. Can you get the picture? She's destitute. She's nothing. She brings Ruth. The people see her, and her presence causes a stir. And they say, can this be Naomi? Because 10 years or more is a long time. Looked a bit older. Gone through a lot of tragedy. Maybe a lot of lines on your face and a lot of gray hair in your head. Could this be Naomi? It was Naomi, but she didn't feel like Naomi because the name Naomi means pleasant or sweet. And she didn't feel like her life had been pleasant or sweet, and her demeanor wasn't pleasant or sweet. And so she says, call me Mara, which means bitter. I'm not sweet. My life is not sweet. Everything about me is bitter. Verse 20, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara because the Almighty God is in all of this. The Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Isn't that a tragic kind of verse? I went away full. I had my family, my future, hopes. Things were going to be good in this new land that had bread. I went away full, but I have come back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. Naomi recognized that God was in the center of all these things. Just like Job went through the awfulness of his life when he lost everything, his family, his wealth, his health. But he was able to say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Or he said to his wife, why should we accept good from God and not trouble? And Job and Naomi, like so many others in the Bible, recognize that God, no matter what happens in our lives, is king, is sovereign, is in control. So whatever's going on in our lives at this moment, God is in control. He's not distant. He's not uncaring. God is in control. Naomi could have said, why has all this happened to me? My life has been so hard. She could have said, what is God doing? She didn't say that. For she knew, as all Christians know, that suffering is reality for everyone who follows Jesus. Verse 20, the Lord, the Almighty, has made my life very bitter. I went away full. The Lord has afflicted me. So there can be times when life just feels empty. We follow Jesus, but sometimes we wonder why, because nothing seems to work out for us. Everybody else is doing okay, but not my life. We have struggles in our family, and so we share those struggles. Or maybe our relationship hasn't worked out as we hoped it would. Maybe our health goes downhill. Maybe we lose someone that we love. Maybe we just feel empty and think, is this real? Am I just fooling myself? Is there a God at all? Am I just talking to the ceiling? So many questions. Naomi felt empty. But the beautiful thing about this story is that it finishes with hope. The very last line of that chapter. See what the last line of that chapter says? Can you see it in verse 22? The harvest was just beginning. It's a lovely verse of hope, isn't it? She had left when there was a famine. Life had gone tragedy after tragedy for her. But she's back in God's place. In this beautiful place where for many generations, Bethlehem would be a very significant part of the story of God's story. And the harvest was just beginning. But more than that, I don't know if I should tell you this better or not, because I want you to hang on to this story as we go through this next number of weeks. But within this girl of Ruth, a foreigner, and though Naomi thought her life was empty, all she had was Ruth. Within Ruth's own body, there was the fullness of God. And as you turn to the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, and as you read through the genealogy of Jesus, name after name after name, right bang in the middle is the name Ruth. Ruth. The one who clung to Naomi. Your God will be my God. And Ruth, the foreigner, will become critical in the story of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So as we look at our lives, whatever's going on in our lives, the tragedy, the emptiness, whatever there may be, we can be sure that God is at work. We can't simply trust the circumstances around us. God's plan is big. And even if we can't see it at this moment, or maybe not even see it within our lifetime, but God uses all things for his glory, for those who trust him. This is the most beautiful love story. It's a love story that's going to continue over the next number of chapters, but it's a love story of God's love for you. God loved the world so much. God loved you so much. This is the greatest love story ever told. It's true. It's for you. Isn't that amazing?